the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you join us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido. Hey, Alicia.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here with y'all.
Yeah.
Today we celebrate the Feast of Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. So let us pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, who gave Saints Cornelius and Cyprian to your people as diligent shepherds and valiant martyrs, grant that through their intercession we may be strengthened in faith and constancy. Is that right? And spend ourselves without reserve for the unity of the Church. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Cornelius, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have some updated Hurricane Ida relief and recovery efforts we'll tell you all about in just a few more minutes. We're joined by Bishop and Deacons today on Wake Up. We're so excited to have Bishop Joseph Strickland, Bishop of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. He joins us to talk about a brief that was submitted not too long ago, urging the justices to overturn Roe versus Wade. So as you know, Texas is actually kind of one of the states that's leading the way to overturn this.
Yes.
And it's actually caused a lot of backlash, you know, from pro-abortion groups. So we're going to talk to Bishop Strickland about what's going over in Texas. Deacon Jeff Tully joins us. He is the CEO and president of Notre Dame Health Systems with an IDA update on care facilities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So last Friday, when we talked to Sarah McDonald with communications in the Archdiocese, she had some great news when it came to care facilities and Hurricane Ida. So we're going to talk to Deacon Tully about this. And Deacon Martin Gutierrez, he's a chief operating officer with the Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic Charities, and he's going to talk about Spirit of Hope recovery efforts. So keep in mind, the Archdiocese of New Orleans not only encompasses the city of New Orleans, but Metairie, Kenner, the river parishes, which are really struggling at the moment, you know, the West Bank, the North Shore, so a big portion of Southeast Louisiana. So I think this is very important information we can hear from Deacon Gutierrez.
Absolutely, Gabby. And you know, Nicholas is kind of hanging around. So we're officially, according to the National Weather Service, we are post-tropical cyclone Nicholas. There's flash flood watch has been extended through 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For much of our listening area, additional rainfall of 2 to 5 inches with locally higher amounts is in the forecast through tomorrow. High rainfall rates could lead to flash flooding, especially in low-lying and poor drainage areas. So flooding will be more likely in areas with debris from Ida, as we all know, and it's resulting in slower than normal drainage. So, you know, one thing to think about if you have all your limbs near the road, make sure that they're not around those storm drains so that the water can flow. There are road closures, so be careful, especially near underpasses, but stay weather aware and remember to avoid flooded roadways and don't drive around barricades, all those things we know, but sometimes we're tempted to do, right? It's cloudy with showers and storms with highs in our listening area in the low 80s at 74 in Baton Rouge, 70 in New Orleans and Houma, 78 in Luling, and 78 in Bay St. Louis.
Wow, wonderful. Thank you so much, Alicia. We have your gospel and gospel reflection coming up right after the break. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Today's gospel is taken from Luke chapter 7. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more? Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to them, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." We've heard the gospel, and so now we reflect.
This is the first of three occasions that St. Luke records Jesus dining with a Pharisee. Why even invited Jesus is puzzling, because he neglected to offer Jesus the customary kiss of greeting, water for his feet, and perfumes. The guests reclined on low couches, leaning upon a cushion on their left side, eating with their right hands. A woman, moved by grace, came behind Jesus and began to anoint his feet with ointment and the tears of repentance. Cornelius a Lapide, the 16th century biblical scholar, identified her as Mary Magdalene in the Great Commentary, but her identity is uncertain. The host only saw someone who was a notoriously immoral. His judgmentalist missed the significance of her encounter with Jesus. Love met love. Jesus then used the Pharisees' internal criticism to give us an important lesson from God's perspective. Jesus presented a parable of two debtors. One owed amount equal to 500 days' wages, the other only 50 days' wages. Now, if the creditor forgave both debts, which of them will love him more? The Pharisee answered correctly, the one to whom he forgave more. Then Jesus made the application. "I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much." Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It is easy to imagine Jesus' heart bursting with joy as he made that statement. Jesus' heart is always irresistibly captured by love and remorse. St. Gregory the Great made the following application to today's gospel. True righteousness is compassionate, whereas false righteousness is indignant. There are many people like this Pharisee, forgetting that they themselves are just poor sinners. So when they see others sin, they immediately become indignant. Instead of taking pity on them, they rush to judge them or sneer at them. They forget that St. Paul says, "Let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker and Jimmy Sagers, for this morning's Gospel and Gospel Reflection. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith, and we're so happy you're joining us on Wake Up this morning. We wanted to share some IDA relief and recovery updates with you. The mobile health unit that's been around in the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux will be there today. Again, this is free aid that they're providing, so wound care, COVID testing, anxiety medication, depression medication. They really are providing lots of care, and that is at no cost. So they're today, they are at St. Lawrence Church in Cramer. That's today, Thursday, the 16th. That's from 7:30 a.m. until noon. They will also be at Our Lady of Prompt Succor in Golden Meadow today from 2 p.m. until they've seen everybody that comes that needs care.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there will also be a unit in for the Lafitte, Barataria, and Crown Point citizens, and that is they address your needs during recovery. They will be at the junction of Fisherman Boulevard and Jean Lafitte Boulevard at the flashing light. So there's no time set for that, but you can check out more information about that if you check with your local diocese or your local parish. They can give you more information about that, Gabby.
Yes, and this one, Operation Blue Roof by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, to provide homeowners in disaster areas with fiber-reinforced sheets to cover their damaged roofs until permanent repairs are made. So you can sign up at blueroof.us. Eligible parishes, I'm looking at the parishes right now, pretty much every parish in Southeast Louisiana, Pointe Coupee, Tangipahoa, Terrebonne, Washington, Plaquemines, I mean, you name it, it's on there. So blueroof.us, or you can call 1-888-766-3258. I'm actually going to post the website in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, but that's blueroof.us.
Okay, great. You know, Gabby, St. Anthony Church in Lafitte is looking for volunteers who have not been affected by Hurricane Ida, who are wanting a way to help. You can call St. Anthony, or you can message them on their Facebook page. That's St. Anthony Church in Lafitte, Louisiana. Message them or just show up at the St. Anthony Hall. They would love to have help distributing hot meals, sandwiches, cleaning supplies, and all those wonderful things that people are in need. So that's St. Anthony Church in Lafitte.
Oh, yeah. Real quick, Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church in La Rose will offer lunch today starting at noon, cooked by the Knights of Columbus. Smoked chicken and spaghetti will be served. Salvation Army will be there. Gas will be distributed. Make sure you bring your own gas can. It's a 5-gallon limit. So that's in La Rose at Our Lady of the Rosary Catholic Church. So, Alicia, lots of stuff.
Yes, wonderful things going on. It is 7:15. Thank you so much for joining us on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 16th. Today we celebrate Saint Cornelius. Persecution of the church during the 3rd century reached such a peak that there was no pope for 14 months. Today's saint was elected following that interval. The greatest problem of Cornelius's 2-year term as pope had to do with the sacrament of penance. The question centered on the readmission of Christians who had renounced their faith during the time of persecution. Some of the proposed solutions were extreme, including one that came from a priest who had himself consecrated a rival bishop of Rome, the church's first antipope. This priest denied that the church had any power to welcome back those who had denied their faith, even those guilty of adultery. Cornelius, however, had the support of most of the church in condemning such extremes. In 251, he held a synod in Rome and ordered that lapsed Catholics could be restored to the church with what he called the usual medicines of repentance. Persecutions resumed the following year, and Cornelius was arrested and deported. Though he was a candidate for martyrdom, he more likely died in 253 as a result of the hardships of his exile and imprisonment than by beheading. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido. And over the phone, our next guest, we have Bishop Joseph Strickland. He is the Bishop of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Good morning, Bishop Strickland.
Good morning, Gabby.
It's so good to have you with us today, and we're going to be discussing your joining of a brief summit to the U.S. Supreme Court, urging the justices to overturn the landmark Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade. We've been trying to do this as a Catholic community for so long, and Texas has really been a state that has been leading the pro-life community when it comes to stuff like this. So tell us a little bit more about this brief.
Well, I was just contacted by those who are looking for what are called amicus or amicus briefs to support the argument that of the sanctity of life before the Supreme Court. That I believe the brief that you're referring to was actually a law in Mississippi that will be before the Supreme Court. And I'm not a civil attorney, but I have some good advisors, and they said that it would, with the amicus brief, it is paid attention to, from what I'm told, that the Supreme Court justices really do, because they're such busy people, they do rely on and feel a lot of support from just understanding the basic arguments in a case by these briefs. And so that's why I was glad to join it. And it was also, I think, important that it was very ecumenical from various faith backgrounds and very multi-ethnic as well, with various races represented, because the sanctity of life, of course, is for all of God's people. So I was very glad to join the group that is promoting this before the Supreme Court.
Bishop Strickland, not too long ago, Texas made the news once again when it came to the topic of abortion, and a lot of pro-abortion advocates really think that this is or could be the end of Roe versus Wade and overturned. And it's actually a very strict abortion law, if you want to put it that way. I think it's more than Mississippi, because the 2018 Mississippi state law banned abortions after the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. Tell me if I'm wrong, but the one in Texas, the law in Texas is or earlier than that. I believe it's 10 or less weeks.
Well, it's called the heartbeat bill, and I certainly can't claim to know the intricacies of it. All laws are fairly complex, but that is the basic idea. When a heartbeat is detected for the child in the womb, then according to this law, it's illegal to perform an abortion if a heartbeat is detected. And Gabby, as you say, I'm not sure of exactly the weeks. I presume it varies just in nature with different children, different women. It is earlier than 15 weeks, typically, where a heartbeat is clearly detected.
Mm-hmm. Bishop Strickland, we know where the Catholic Church stands when it comes to the abortion issue, the abortion topic. I mean, this has always been a, quote, hot topic when it comes to elections and anything anything like that. So talk about the importance of continuing to still keep this the pro-life cause and the pro-life side relevant in today's world when we have so many other things in our country to talk about.
Well, you bring up a good point, Gabby, because that we're all overwhelmed with issues, life and death issues, and issues that we're dealing with in all kinds of facets of life. But we do have to keep the basic sanctity of life at the forefront. I was very pleased to read something Pope Francis said. I think he's visiting some of the countries in Eastern Europe right now, and he said, abortion is murder. And that is really what Catholic faith comes down to. It's a word that probably isn't used that often because it gets really to the point. But if we believe, as we do, we know that life begins at conception and continues, hopefully, to natural death. So interrupting that at any stage, whether 2 months in the womb or 2 years or 22 years, wherever in that span of conception to natural death, when violence is used to stop a life, it's called murder. And that is what our society, really not just in this nation, but throughout the world, abortion has become much more accepted. And one of the things that is always raised with me that we do have to pay attention to is the sanctity of the life of a mother, and even to remember there's a father involved as well. I think a lot of the ills mm-hmm. that we see in society that cause abortion to be so embraced by so many is that too many of the fathers are absent from the picture when a woman is faced with that choice. Certainly it can be another situation also where the mother is making a choice that the father is against, even though they may not be together as a couple. So I think it's important to continue to lovingly and calmly but very forcefully say that this is life. This is a human being. This is a person that God's will has said, let them flourish in his world. And we're interrupting that, and we do call that murder.
Yeah, we're talking to Bishop Joseph Strickland. He's a bishop of the Diocese of Tyler, Texas. Bishop Strickland, one of the things that I have noticed in the last few years when working in the Catholic community and in Catholic Community Radio is the importance of education and educating people on what exactly it means to be pro-life. And getting into the topic you really don't like talking about, what exactly is an abortion? Looking at both sides, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of organizations in our listening area that really do a great job with educating young people and adults. How important is it to get that education out there, but like you said, also go about it in a loving way?
Well, I think education is essential. The truth sets us free. And that's what real education does. It doesn't just give us a slant on life or a certain agenda, but it gives us the truth. And the more we can know the truth, God has made us as beings who are rational and can work with the truth. And if we know the truth, most hearts, thankfully, certainly there's evil and we're all sinners, but most human hearts respond favorably to the clear truth when they're able to encounter it. There's a lot of false messaging out there that even with the heartbeat bill here in Texas, there's some of the pro-abortion people that argue, oh, that's not a heartbeat, that's infantile cardiac activity.
Oh my
They try to dress it up and just pretend that reality isn't what is real. Yes, it's challenging for a woman, and I think we've in my lifetime, I'm 62, and I was a seminarian back in the late 70s, and I've seen society and the church's efforts grow in recognizing the sanctity of that woman who is faced with a difficult challenge and with the temptation to take the life of her child. We need to support them, and I'm mm-hmm. very supportive of ways in the Catholic community and beyond here in East Texas that do a great job of being there for the woman who is convinced that she, whatever the difficult circumstances, she's not going to commit murder and take a life because she's in difficulty. We do need to continue to look for ways and educate people on the challenges that these women face that are often very alone and have economic hardships, and many good people are stepping forward to assist them.
Yes. I had the pleasure of meeting Dr. Alveda King over at the March for Life a few years back, and she does such a great job with the Black community and really bringing awareness to this side of the abortion issue. Are you working with her or anyone in Priest for Life or any other organizations that are so on the front lines of the pro-life movement?
Well, Mrs. King is... she's part of that amicus brief, that she's one of the signatories of that brief. So in that sense, I've never had the pleasure of meeting her, but I have been impressed with her clear speaking to, you know, the sanctity of the life of those of African or Negro descent. Every person is sacred because we all come from God's love. And so I really have been pleased with her clear voice, because we need that in the midst of all the division and the racial divisions in our nation right now, to recognize in many ways abortion is a very racist program targeting those who are poor, those who are less advantaged, and very often they do need to they are part of an ethnic group that is not receiving justice in many levels. And so I'm very pleased to be associated with Mrs. King.
Bishop Strickland, where can we go to find out more about this and maybe read a little bit more about the heartbeat bill over in Texas?
Well, I know there are a lot of different organizations. I would just look up, you know, probably the easiest is just to Google heartbeat bill, and you'll probably get more information than you can handle. But there are organizations like Texas Right to Life in Texas that would be able to share some information. And I would just encourage people, as you said, Gabby, to be more educated, to open their minds and hearts if they're kind of undecided on the issue of abortion and they see people arguing back and forth. I would encourage everyone listening to learn as much as they can. And the truth that they learn
will help them make good decisions. Thank you so much. It's 7:30.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Judicial Watch says 198 pages of newly obtained documents show the Obama administration paid over $500 each for certain abortion specimens. Not only do the particular specimens show that the abortions may have been illegal, but a judge ordered the release of unredacted information as the court found reason to question whether the transactions violate federal law banning the sale of fetal organs. Two prominent pro-life groups are being banned by Google. Live Action wants to show internet users their Baby Olivia movie showing gestational development. Also, both Live Action and Heartbeat International's abortion pill reversal efforts are being hidden, censored by the internet giant. This is Life News Radio.
A stunning new video has the power to transform discussions of human life in the womb. Created by Live Action, Baby Olivia, the video, takes viewers from the conception of a baby to her learning to speak, hear, even recognize persons outside the womb, all before she signals she is ready to greet the world. Find Baby Olivia at liveaction.org.
In other headlines, with two cases seeking to protect medical rights of conscience, a judge granted a temporary restraining order against New York and hospital mandates for healthcare worker vaccinations. Protesters and allegedly Christian groups are rapidly trying to find or prop up excuses for the current White House race to promote abortion. And another federal judge is blasting holes in what supports current abortion practice. Judge Amul Thapar says that even abortion advocate Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote before her death that the court used poor judicial reasoning in creating Roe. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning. It's 7:35. Thank you so much for joining us on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Gabby Smith. And we are joined this morning by Deacon Jeff Tully. He's the CEO and president of Notre Dame Health Systems. And he's going to share with us the update from Ida in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Deacon Tully.
Good morning. How are y'all today?
Wonderful. Good. How are you?
I'm great. Well, I am great. God is good.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All the time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, tell us what's going on. How were the Notre Dame Health Systems, did you have damage from Ida?
Well, you know, our facilities, we have three facilities. We have Chateau de Notre Dame, Our Lady of Wisdom, and Weinhoven Healthcare Center. And we received some minor damage. It did not interfere with our operations. It did not interfere with the care and well-being of our residents or our staff. And, you know, we sheltered in place at all of our facilities. We made a decision after lots of prayer and pondering and decided that we were going to shelter in place. We were not going to evacuate. And we do have an evacuation place in central Louisiana.
Oh.
But the decision to stay in place was the great decision for us, you know, after God gave us the answer to stay where we are.
Yes.
Stay where we are right here and take care of the people that God put on our path. And that's what we did.
Wow. In those three facilities, about how many people are you caring for in those facilities?
When we're fully staffed, when we're fully occupied, we're about 500 people.
Wow.
Wow.
So when we're a little lower right now. So if we had 400 some plus our staff, so it's an enormous amount of people that you have to take care of. And not only that, when you're cut off from the outside, you have to make sure that they're well-being. You have to provide sleeping arrangements. You have to provide food. You have to provide all the other things, because during the storm and immediately thereafter, you don't have the luxury of having things delivered to you.
All right. That's right. Now, tell us about, did you all lost power, I'm assuming most of New Orleans did. How long were you without power, and what was your plan during that time?
You know, we do lose power. We lose city power, but all of our facilities have generator.
Okay.
So we have enough. We have generator, and we have fuel on site for a minimum of 7 days.
Oh,
and when we go into a hurricane or emergency situation, we have fuel and we have food and beverage enough to sustain for 7 days minimum.
Wow.
So all of our facilities do have generators, and we maintain that. You know, at one time, one of our generators went down, but we still have life safety generators, so we were never completely out of power anywhere.
Okay.
Wow.
So that was a good thing. Did get a little warm when one of our generators went down, but it was temporary.
I bet. And did your staff stay there?
You know, they did.
Okay.
Our staff, a lot of them, sustained damage to their personal property. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the good thing about, if there's a good thing, a shining the silver cloud and all this, is you get to see the best of the best in people.
Oh, yeah.
You get to see people step up. You get to truly see the caring and the compassion and Christ-like behaviors in people. And I've been in healthcare a long time, and so when people come together in a crisis, you truly see the best of the best. Mm-hmm. Nobody has a job description. We do what Jesus is asking us to do, and we take care of the people immediately in front of us and who are in immediate need.
Wow.
It's phenomenal to see it.
Wow. I bet. Tell us about the varied amounts of care or different care that you provide at those three facilities.
Well, we have long-term care, so we have people who are here that are going to be here for a long time. We have people who are in our facilities for just rehab. And we have people in our facilities who are on hospice as well at the end of life, you know, so we deal with that. And we also have our homebound ministries. So we have people who we do hospice and home health and home care in people's homes. And a lot of those people evacuated. So our staff for home care, we're making arrangements for travel decisions for all of our hospice and home health patients, and dealing with other organizations so that they could go there and evacuate with their families and have the care they need in an area that was not hampered by the hurricane.
Oh, sure.
So lots of those people went out. More than half of them, you know, evacuated. And so we have to make sure that they provide the care wherever they go. So we communicate with the different agencies in those areas. And now we're starting to see them coming back. We're starting to see coming back. And the unfortunate thing of some of the other nursing homes who evacuated, who we've all heard the horror stories in the news, is we're now getting a lot of requests for a lot of other patients and residents to come. And you just,
it was so heartening to hear the whole
thing.
You know, just shocking, honestly. You know, when you think about your grandparent who has been through hospice or is at an old age, it's so heartening to hear that. But, you know, the shining light is, the thing that made me smile was when you were talking about the generators. That must be a peace of mind for family members. Mm. The backup generators to the backup generators to the backup generators to make sure everyone is comfortable.
Right.
That's really great to hear.
You learn a lot of lessons and things like this, but, you know, we'll always have them. We'll always have them. We'll change some of the variety of food at times, you know.
When you have electricity, give me the Vienna sausages. As long as I have air,
that's right.
I can tell you, our dietary staff cooked meals three times a day for all of the residents, all of the employees, all the people that were here. They did phenomenal.
That's wonderful.
You know, and it just makes me so proud to have such a team and to be able to share, you know, the same as they are as a part of this organization.
That's wonderful.
Because it's they who do the work each and every day.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't it interesting how, you know, there's so much anxiety and angst that comes along with a hurricane, but there's also so much wonderful people and their actions after, during and after, that it kind of gives you a new perspective, I think. As difficult as it is to go through, it just kind of gives you a little shot in the arm of that zest for life and wanting to help.
You know, I look at it like it's God's way of telling us, you know, hey, let's put some priorities in life. Let's revisit this. Let's look at this and triage everything in front of you and truly prioritize what is important.
Yes.
And what's important is taking care of others. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do.
Absolutely. Deacon Tully, I would assume, you know, in addition to your 500, almost 500 residents, you have families to interact with. And how does that go in an emergency like a hurricane, notifying families that you decided to shelter in place? Did family members want to come and stay with their loved ones, or how does that work?
You do. You have a variety of those things. And you know, unfortunately, we also deal with COVID at the same time.
Sure.
So we could not allow them to come into the facility. We went on a lockdown on the Saturday before. Okay. So the 28th at 7 p.m., we decided, I mean, that's when our shelter in place began. Okay. So what we did was we did a communication blast to all of our families. And when we do that, we have the phone numbers of all their loved ones. And so we do a blast, so they all get phone messages.
Oh, nice.
And what we did every day, we would give an update of where we were, what's going on, ensuring them that your loved ones are in great care, they're fine, they're getting their medicines, they're getting fed, and they have air conditioning.
Yeah,
you know, whatever, and they're comfortable. You know,
yes.
And we did as many activities as we could during the time to help them, to be with them. And some of them, it was seamless to them because what they received day in and day out, they were still receiving during the storm. And that makes me so proud of our team to be able to do those things.
That's amazing. What a wonderful gift. We're visiting this morning with Deacon Jeff Tully. He's the CEO and president of Notre Dame Health Systems, and he's giving us an Ida update in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. What a gift you are to so many in the Archdiocese. Thank you so much for all you do for our precious family members. Thank you for joining us this morning, Deacon Tully.
Thank you all so very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too. God bless. Wow. I love that. Love hearing all those wonderful stories that give you hope. Right, Gabby?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes.
Oh, goodness. It is 7:45. Thanks so much for joining us on Wake Up.
It is 7:48 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. We're joined by Deacon Martin Gutierrez. He is the Chief Operating Officer with the Archdiocese of New Orleans Catholic Charities. And today we're talking about their response to helping people after Hurricane Ida. Good morning, Deacon Martin.
Good morning, Gabby. Good to be with you. Thank you.
It's so good to have you with us today. You know, we've been keeping up with Catholic Charities over in Houma Thibodeau, the Diocese of Baton Rouge, and of course the Archdiocese of New Orleans. So give us an update. What impacts of Hurricane Ida have you seen?
Well, the impact is less than what we expected. However, it's still tremendous to see the damage that we have incurred, especially in St. Charles Parish, Civil Parish, St. John, Lafitte. And obviously the thousands and thousands of homes in our in Jefferson and Orleans Parish that were impacted by the wind and even the North Shore. But it's been a great blessing for me to go around the Archdiocese with the Archbishop, with Archbishop Amen and Sister Marjorie, traveling, visiting the different sites that I just mentioned, and to witness how people are responding, and we know that every sunrise brings blessings and graces that if we dispose ourselves to them, we can actually receive them and be better off for it. So we know that this is going to be a marathon. It's not going to be a sprint, and that's what we are ready to do.
Yes, and we talked to Sarah McDonald with communications last Friday in the Archdiocese, and we've been telling her that we've been seeing the pictures on social media of Archbishop Amen all over the Archdiocese. So that's really great to see the recovery efforts, and good to hear also from many of the schools that have reopened and gone back into the classroom or virtual on Monday. So what is Catholic Charity's role in the recovery?
Yeah, so we don't call ourselves first responders. We like to think more of ourselves as early, short-term, and long-term responders, especially on the long-term situation. At first, you know, with Archbishop Amen and Sister Marjorie, we went around the different impacted areas, and we assisted in the coordination of delivery of goods and services to the church parishes. So we were in communication, constant communication with Second Harvest, Christopher Holmes. I know you just said Deacon Jeff on the phone, on the radio, mm-hmm. Notre Dame Healthcare. So we were able to be that point of contact for many of those things to make to happen. Now we're starting to get into the next phase as far as Catholic Charities is concerned. We have a group of case managers who are in disasters like this, who are geared to shift their mission to disaster recovery, and this is long-term recovery. So what we try to do now is meet with the individuals, the families who are in need, and help them develop a plan that will take them from point A to point B to point C to point D to get them back on their feet. Our case managers are trained to help people navigate the FEMA process, the insurance process, and when all of that doesn't work, there are community resources that will come around that hopefully will be able to help them. So it's like a life coach type of thing, you know, where we help sit down with the individuals, see what their unmet needs, and we try to help them figure out how to meet those needs. Right now, we are responding to a couple of shelters that the city of New Orleans and Jefferson Parish have set up for returning citizens. And we are providing case management services there as well. We know that this is a long haul. Long after, you know, the food distributions are done, which is that's a wonderful thing to do at this time. It's most needed. We know that people will still need to rebuild their homes. And that's where we come in, to help them navigate that process.
Yeah, and we were talking about news cycles before the show started. You know, recovery phases, you have 6 to 18 months. We can't forget, once we move on to the next news cycle, you turn on the news and we're talking about something else on the television or on the radio, that there are people that still need help. We've seen this with Hurricane Laura over in Lake Charles, still needing recovery and help. So 6 to 18 months. So where will you focus your work now with Catholic Charities?
Well, we'll be able to serve everybody in the Archdiocese, but specifically, we have identified St. John the Baptist Parish, St. Charles, Lower Jefferson, obviously, in Lafitte, some areas of Plaquemines, St. Tammany as well. But I think most of the work that we are going to have to do are going to be in St. Charles, St. John, and the Lafitte area. We are concerned, obviously, about the thousands and thousands of families whose lives have been turned upside down in those areas. We have an office in Boutique near Luling, and our office is damaged, but we have been in conversations already with the pastors, the priests at St. Anthony in Luling, Holy Family, Holy Rosary, for example. So what we will do is have our staff work out of those parishes. And this morning I will head out to Luling to solidify those plans.
Yeah, we talked to Father Stephen Dardis over at Holy Family in Luling, and you could hear the tiredness in his voice, just like you heard Father David Ducote's last week when he was over in La Place. Just tired and but grateful for the help as well. So I'm so glad that we're talking about these parishes, yes, and these hard-hit areas. For those who are just joining us, we're talking to Deacon Martin Gutierrez. He's a Chief Operating Officer with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. How can someone help Catholic Charities right now?
I think this is a great opportunity, and the readings from last weekend reminded us about the good works that we are mandated to do as Catholic Christians. And, you know, the best definition of love is to to will the good of the other, but also I've heard somebody add and do something about it. So we can do something about it today. Mm-hmm. And the best way to help us continue our mission is actually with financial donations. And they can visit our website, ccano.org. ccano.org. That stands for Catholic Charities Archdiocese of New Orleans. So that's the best way. We need to make sure that we have the staff that is necessary to provide the case management services that I just talked about, and hopefully have some money also for direct financial assistance to help people with unmet needs.
Yes, ccano.org. I posted the website in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, on social media, where can they go?
We do have a Facebook page, but in order to donate, the best way to do it is just go directly to the website, ccano.org.
All right, wonderful. Deacon Martin Gutierrez with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you so much for all that you do. Happy National Hispanic Heritage Month from one Hispanic to the other. And thank you so much for joining us today.
We'll be celebrating for the next month. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Wow.
That's great, great. Great stuff today.
It is great. And, you know, I want to share that number for Catholic Charities Baton Rouge for Ida Relief. If you need help, you can, and you're in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, or even if you're not, you can call them and they'll direct you to the right place. That number is 800-560-0200. And that's Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge. If you need assistance, give them a call and they can help you out. 800-560-0200. Gabby, our hour flew by. We're going to end this morning with with Pope Francis's prayer to Saint Joseph. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail, guardian of the Redeemer, spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. To you, God entrusted his only Son, and you, Mary, placed her trust. With you, Christ became man. Blessed Joseph, to us too, show yourself a father and guide us in the path of life. Obtain for us grace, mercy, and courage, and defend us from every evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us and protect us.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Thursday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.